Eric, I've been told not to nag on Daphne and Gimel, so I'll try to be nice. We're holding by the Mishnah, and we're missing a lot of important people today, including our president, including Sabachach, including Richie, including Yaakov. Between them, we've got the people that usually do the Zakeh Helika Mishnah. So therefore, I will do it myself. Zakeh Helika Mishnah. Hanoder min hatimarim. Mutar pidvash tmarim. Continuing now on the discussion of the relationship between things and that which come from those things, which also revolves around, as we saw yesterday, more than simply the question of whether something is, once it's asur, whether that which comes from it is asur, but also revolves around the question of language. What do people mean? And we found that there was also a machloket as to what the din would be in a case where something is still referred to by its original name, possibly. We're going to see more about that today. So when you talk about tamarim, you normally are referring to the actual dates. And therefore, you are mutter b'dvash tamarim, because one would not think that the main usage of dates would be dvash tamarim. Well, we've had even yesterday, even if you know the mina anavim, since we don't call it Yain, we don't call Yain Yain Anavim, it'd be Mutter and Yain. Here it's a little bit strange because Tamarim, Dvash Tamarim, is called Dvash Tamarim. And what appeared yesterday to be something that wasn't even Machlok is Kum. We said the Kum was the way. So if it would be a place in which it was called Kuma de Chalva, which is where what it was in Rabbi Yossi's location, so we said then everybody would have agreed that it's considered to be aser. If you aser the chalav, you aser the kolam. And yet here it's saying that if you aser the tamarim, it's mutter and dvash. Even though the dvash is definitely called dvash tamarim, everybody always calls dvash tamarim, dvash tamarim. You don't call it plain dvash. Same thing would be true if you are noder from sitvaniot. Sitvaniot are grapes, winter grapes. They don't really ripen ever, but you can use them to make chometz. You don't eat them directly. But that chometz is not called normal vinegar. It's called chometz sitvaniot. Nonetheless, it says over here, you're allowed to eat chometz sitvaniot. And the problem is, how do we distinguish between this and between the siura de lesher, as we said yesterday, which was the chometz de chalba? It ought to be the same as Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanit. And there's two basic approaches to how to understand this. There's the Rajba's approach, and then there's the far more persuasive Ran's approach. Rajba's approach is that koma hasn't changed. The whey is exactly what it was before. It was the plasma in the milk, of the milk. And when you remove the solids, it's left exactly as it was before. It just doesn't have the solids, the milk solids in it. Marshenke, when you make dvash tamarim from tamarim, or chometz from sitvaniyot, you've changed it completely. And therefore, despite the fact that the shame is still attached to it, doesn't matter. The Ran doesn't like that very much. And undoubtedly the reason he doesn't like it is because yesterday we said that the entire point of the machlokas between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yossi was simply dependent on whether we still called it something that had to do with the original form, and therefore people would mean that. So he says a brilliant answer. He says when you call something Koma de Chalva, you're obviously, the whole point of calling it Koma de Chalva is to relate it to the Chalav, because Kom doesn't mean anything else. There's no such thing as plain kum, other than kum et chalva. So why not just call it whey? What would be the point in a place that calls it milk whey? I mean, you know, what is that, a candy bar? So the point, therefore, would be that I'm bedafka trying to relate it back to the original product. But when I call something dvash tamarim, so I'm calling it date honey, that's because if I didn't say dvash tamarim, everybody would think it means honey, bee honey. Because that's the normal usage of the word honey. Same thing is true if I call chometz sitvaniot, I would call it plain chometz. The reason I call it sitvaniot is to distinguish it from the normal chometz. That's the same thing we would say today, wine vinegar, as opposed to the normal vinegar that's sold in the store. So it's not here when I call it sitvaniot that I'm trying to remember that it's associated with sitvaniot. I'm just trying to make sure it's not confused with the other type of chometz. Bashenke, when I call kuma de chalba, the only possible purpose, this is nothing you can be confused with, is to relate it back to the chalav. Therefore, in this case, it is irrelevant to the machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan before. Beautiful, beautiful analysis, right? In other words, what's the point of the adjective? Is it a distinguishing adjective, or is it a defining adjective? And that is a very, very beautiful thought, I think. Rabbi Yehuda ben Matira Omer, Kol Sheshem Toladeto Kruya Alav, where you still refer back to the original items, such as over here, you have tamarim, you have dvash tamarim, or you have sitvaniyot, you have chomet sitvaniyot. In that case, where you're noter from the thing, you are usher b'yotzei himeno, because I don't make that distinction. Fact is that you know perfectly well that you're eating chomets of sitvaniyot, and you're thinking about sitvaniyot. When you say sitvaniyot, you mean anything that's called sitvaniyot, including sitvaniyot vinegar. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Matira argues, and the Chachomim are matirin. Now that seems simply to be repeating the original Tanakam. The Tanakam said mutar. What's the point of saying Chachomim matirin, which is exactly what the Gemara now asks? What do you mean Chachomim matirin? You just said that. Chachomim hanya Tanakam. What do you have to repeat it for? No, says the Gemara. This is a third shita. Very, very different from the original two shita. And here's where we find this third shita. How did the Tanya? The difference is, it could be now, how did the Tanya? The difference is the case that we find in this bride. Klal zeh Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Kol shedarko leachel. Anything which is itself generally seen as edible. Derech hayotze mimenu leachel. And I also would generally eat in another form that which it's made into. So I will certainly eat dates, and I will certainly eat date honey. Those two things are both very consumable. But when it comes to sitvaniyot, I do not eat sitvaniyot. I eat sitvaniyot chometz, but sitvaniyot itself is not generally viewed as edible. They're too hard and sour. So there's a difference between them, says Rav Shimon ben Elazar. If the thing itself is eaten, and that which comes from it is eaten, such as the case of the tamarim and the dvash tamarim, so then the halakha indeed would be nadar bo asur b'yotzei mimenu. Nadar b'yotzei mimenu asur bo. So that, I think, two of them are interrelated. But kol she'en darko le'achot. V'derech ha'yotzei mimenu le'achel, I should say. V'derech ha'yotzei mimenu le'achel. Basha'en kein. If the case would be such as the sitvaniyot, where it itself is generally not eaten, but what is eaten is that which is made from it, like the vinegar of sitvaniyot. So then the halacha is noder bo eno asur ela b'yotzei mimenu. There what happens is that even if I asur myself on sitvaniyot, being a sitvaniyot are generally not eaten, I really don't mean to asur myself on sitvaniyot. I mean to asur myself on the product that is made usually from sitvaniyot. So I'm thinking only and exclusively of the vinegar of the sitvaniyot. So this is a third shita that actually is the exact opposite of the Tanakama. It's not only similar, it's a complete reversal of the Tanakama. Tanakama says, if you ask the sitvaniyot, you're mutter in the form of sitvaniyot, but you're also in the sitvaniyot. Whereas according to Rav Shimon Elazar, if you ask the sitvaniyot, you're mutter in the sitvaniyot, but also in the form of the sitvaniyot. I think this is the way the Ran understands it, that it's a complete reversal, and that's the main point. There's some question about the girsa of us, if you're noder miayotzi mimeno, about us or bo, that's not universally agreed upon. But this idea of the reversal is actually quite beautiful. So chachamim matirim would mean, well, whatever you guys said was us, or I said is mutter. So that's the point of the reversal. So I'm not, obviously not going to discuss the dvash and tamarim relationship, but I will discuss according to this latter pshat, I will discuss only the sitvanios and the yotzim and the sitvanios also. But according to the other pshat, if you know der menat marim, so then I don't have a complete reversal on every level. Zokta el commission. Hano der min hayayin mutar bein tapuchim. Now here's another issue. Suppose you have an item that sometimes goes with an adjective and sometimes doesn't. Just say you have wine. And normally when we refer to wine, you refer to grape wine. If you want to talk about another kind of wine, talk about it. You say apple wine, or apple cider, I mean, but, you know, you can use other words. I mean, in English we have particular words. For other things, we would have honey wine, we call it mead, but they would call it yayin dvash. So then if you note it from yayin, you're actually mutter in the type of wine that would need an adjective for me to know what you're talking about. So if you ask a shemen, and you're in Eretz Yisrael, oil in Eretz Yisrael means olive oil, or in those days, meant olive oil. Nowadays it means canola oil, I guess. But in a place that uses olive oil exclusively, if you want to talk about another oil, you say so. I want sesame oil. I want canola oil. So then stam oil does not mean anything but olive oil. You can put any other oils. So you'd be also b'shem and zayin. But you'd be mutter b'shem and shub shemin. The same thing is true of honey. If you talk about honey, you mean bees honey. And if you wanted to talk about date honey, you'd have to say date honey. And therefore, when you say stam honey, you don't mean date honey. You don't mean anything that goes under the general rubric of honey. So you're mutter b'dvash tamarim. If you ask her chometz, if you wanted to ask her wine vinegar, you'd say so. So, I mean, of course, nowadays, in their days, that's what stam chometz was wine vinegar. But today, if you want wine vinegar, you specify wine vinegar, apple vinegar, and so on. So then you'd be mutter b'chometz itvaniyot. Now, let's say you ask her krishim. So, if you answer on yourself leeks, so then you'd be mutter bekaplutot, which would be something similar. And there's a whole family that in the language in use at the time of the Mishnah, the entire onion, leek, and related things were all called various forms of the krishim. But you'd have to define which one you meant. And then there were the whole family of what we distinguish between kruv and other things. There included anything that was kruv-like. You know, so you could have asparagus included under kruv. And they, you know, but it's a cultural specific kind of thing. Obviously, we have to apply it to local usage. If you say veggies, so then when you say veggies, you mean vegetables that are marketed from a garden. You don't mean things that you go and pick that grow greens in the field, and you go pick some greens and throw them in the soup for flavor. You refer to those as vegetables. So those are what you call your rokot ha-sadeh. If you meant your rokot ha-sadeh, you'd say so. So min ha-yerek mutar bi rokot ha-sadeh. In all of the above cases, the adjective is actually a shem levai. It's the way in which I need to adjoin the name of the thing, and therefore it's not included. I didn't name it. Tanya. No, so in other words, there's a difference between an adjective such as big and little and an adjective that describes the species. So if I need to describe the species further, then the way that I said it is only meant on the most common usage, and then I assume that species is what I mean. Tanya, hanoderm and hashemen be'eretz Yisrael, where they use exclusively olive oil, mutar b'shemen shum shemin, so over there sesame oil is okay, but shemen zayit is the norm, and therefore it's asur. In Bavel, it's the exact opposite. In Bavel, if you want olive oil, you'd specify olive oil. The normal oil in Bavel would be sesame oil. And therefore, be Bavel asur b'shem and shum shemin, but mutar b'shem and zayit. If you live in a place, such as today in Eretz Yisrael, where you're mistapkim mizeh u'mizeh, people will use olive oil, they'll use sesame oil, they'll use canola oil, and unless they're makpid bedavka on one or the other, they won't use a shem levai to put in some oil, whatever oil you have. So over there, if you ask yourself on oil, you'll be usher on all types of oil. Usher bezel bezel. Isn't that obvious? It's a ram sheet. I mean, if that's what oil means, that's what oil means. No, the finish is that even if you got an overwhelming majority of people that are using one type of standard oils, you got Ruben and Chad in the Stavki. So over there you might think that you're allowed to follow the Rav. In other words, if most people would mean olive oil. So then yeah, if you said oil, you mean olive oil. That we have over the suffix of the Lashon of the Dharam is Luchumra. As we've said many times, and therefore here, two suffix is your luchum. Now, Hanodir min Ayeret b'shar shenei shavua, if you're not holding during Shemitah, and you aser Yerek, so then normally you mean Yerakot Gina. So you mean like things that grow in a garden. You talk about, you know, lettuce and cucumbers and so on. But your Mutar b'Yerakot HaSadeh, that grow wild in the field, but during Shvias, where nobody would be planting in the Gina, so over there, you're Asur b'Yerakot HaSadeh, but because that's the only thing you'd be thinking about, but you'd be Mutar b'Yerok HaGina, because you're not thinking about cucumbers, because they're not available during Shemitah. Om Rabbi Avu Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, that's only where you don't have a Vadat Sech. Says Zoshana Vakshay Nevi'im Yerak Mechutzar. That's only where they're not importing vegetables, you know. But, I mean, where you've got these guys going around bringing in things from the Gada, so then it's all different thing. If you're B'makom Shemevi'im Yerak Mechutzar La'aretz, so then you are thinking about, believe it or not, buying cucumbers even in the middle of Shemitah. Unbelievable. So there, it would be Asur. And by the way, that question about whether you're allowed to import vegetables into Eretz Yisrael is a machloket tana'im, ketana'im. In mevim yerek michutz la'aretz la'aretz. Going to the Tanakam, you're not allowed to. Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel omer mevim yerek michutz la'aretz la'aretz. What possible reason would there be to aser importing vegetables? My taima, the man yomer ein mevim. Omar Rabbi Yirmiya mishum gush. That's, you know what happened in the Gush. There were a lot of problems. Actually, this is referring to the Gush, that is to say the actual pieces of dirt that are connected. Sometimes you get a vegetable that's very dirty. It's got a large piece of soil attached to it. And the question over here is that the Chachomim were gozer to Mal Eretz HaAmim, two separate gezeiros. The Avir of Eretz HaAmim, it's a problem for Kohanim to be traveling in, unless they wear, of course, that special...
Plastic bag.
Yes, well, it's actually a space suit. If they're leaving Eretz Yisrael, they need to have their own breathing apparatus and so on. So, but the exposure to Avir Eretz HaAmim is Mitzami, but the actual Gush, because of the fact that there is so much promiscuous burial of the dead in all places, especially where women would miscarry and didn't exactly want anybody to know that they had miscarried or they were pregnant in the first place. So therefore, where it goes. Now, there's something about Barnea's neighborhood which we are about to hear.
I was just in Ashkelon, and I found a Roman period bathhouse, which was apparently also a whorehouse. I found 300 babies in the piping.
Wow.
Got stopped up at some point. Whoa. 300 shlagim of
babies. Astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. Could you say, I'm afraid that you didn't speak Latin. That's something that has of universal interest.
In Ashkelon, they discovered a Roman period bathhouse, which is apparently also a whorehouse. And they found, at a certain point, the piping had gotten stuffed, 300 skeletons of babies stuffed on the ground. Fetuses.
Wow. So the abortion clinic went hand in hand with the house of prostitution. Okay. That's exactly what the Gemara said. You know? That's pretty amazing. Right. Okay, so because of that, there were goes on actual pieces. So if you have to be choshish, the people when they import vegetables are not going to be marketed and will import the dirt along with the vegetable and would be bringing in tumah and teret tisrael, which would be metametiris, and it's also to be going tumah letiris in Eretz Yisrael.
Since we brought the example of bringing from Kutzlars, could we make nine from your district holds that and the going can't be mafkia, which is Eretz Yisrael?
No.
Otherwise, I don't have to bring the import.
No, and that would be Kutzlars.
Yeah.
I mean, if it would be really mafkia. Okay, dear President, you are on. Min hakruv, asur besparagus. Min asparagus, mutar bekruv. Normally, we call asparagus is the name of a drink, which actually used to be made of asparagus and other things, and alcohol and so on. But they had a health drink in the morning that was supposed to perk you up. And it was the equivalent of our coffee that they called the drink asparagus. I mean, that's an idea for a health drink store. It was asparagus juice. We don't really mean asparagus juice. But over here, asparagus is actually asparagus. So the question over here is whether asparagus is included under the general heading of types of kruv. And it has that kruv-like top, just a longer stem and so on. So if you ask a kruv, indeed the asparagus would be included. But vice versa, it would not be the case. It's interesting that the grub here brings Rav Haigon, who talks about this as meaning the asparagus drink. So in other words, over there you would have not the asparagus drink does not refer to the plant we call asparagus at all. It was just a way of referring to the wine and kruv and tzvalim and so on that were mixed together to get you that delicious morning perker upper. And the shaila is over there whether that would include the drink of the kruv, which is asparagus, which make it similar to the other cases that we're talking about, things that you make with it, but has changed its name completely.
It's not the asparagus we know today.
Right, it's a drink. It's the drink of kruv is asparagus. But the way that the way that Rashi learns, or the Mefarish learns over here, is that it's actually a type of kruv, and we're talking about what we would call asparagus, being something similar to kruvim. Now, there's a Rashi, actually, elsewhere, that says that a Rashbam, actually, that says that the word for kruv in Persian is asparagus. So that's how the name came to be called asparagus on the drink, because the Persians would call kruv asparagus. So apparently over the course of time, and if that's the case, over the course of time, these things sort of split into two, the tougher, more health-oriented thing became the asparagus, you see. But in any event, if you ask for asparagus, then you're mutter in the kruv, because that's not the more subsuming title. Minagrisim, asur b'mikpeh, Rabbi Yossi matir. Now, again, this is a question of language. So you're asking over here peas, split peas, grisim or split peas. If you ask for split peas, do you mean to ask for split pea soup? So that's the question. Mikpeh is a tafshil that is made with that ingredient that is not light. It's not something that you pour easily, but it's also not congealed. So it's mikpeh, it's way to being congealed, which is a nice thick split pea soup. But in the Mokum of the Chachami, they would call mikpeh. They wouldn't refer to it by its name. It was, mikpeh made of split peas. But it would be called mikpeh, it wouldn't be called split pea soup. Mashenkin in the Chachamim's place, they would call it split pea soup. So therefore, this accounts for the machlokas. This is similar to the machlokas we saw earlier, the Rabbi Yossi de Chachamim. Mina mikpeh, mutar begrisin, that's for sure. Because we certainly don't refer to the main thing, the grisin, with the mikpeh. Mina mikpeh, asur b'shum, Rabbi Yossi matir. Again, it was a question of the normal way of using garlic. So, as you know, you could purchase garlic that's been diced up in a liquid, in water, that's similar to the mikpeh of garlic. And many people used to just dip garlic in a mikpeh, dip their bread into garlic, so then enochinam, this mikpeh would include shum. Whereas Rabbi Yossi would be matir. If you answered shum, mutar be mikpeh. We had earlier this machlokas, mina adashim, asur ba ashishim, because over there, the ashishim, which are adashim that have now been fried in oil, and over there you make a little bar of the adashim. So they're no longer called adashim, even though they're made out of adashim. So according to Rabbi Yossi, they're called ashishim, not adashim, and therefore you're mutter. Rabbi Yossi matir. If you ask for the ashishim, everybody agrees that you're mutar ba'adashim, because again, the shem adashim isn't part of it, so you weren't thinking about adashim. Now, chitam and chitim is an interesting thing. When you talk about, sometimes there are things that are referred to as the species, and you can refer to the individual thing. When we say I don't eat pee. Okay, so we're talking about not eating maybe anything that are made out of peas. But I don't eat pea doesn't mean I won't eat a particular one pea. Right? It means the class of things that you use pea to make. If you say I don't eat peas, then you don't eat peas. You won't eat a single pea either. And the same thing is true if you have chita or chitim. What about chitim? It means you won't even chew chitim. Talk about I don't eat wheat. That doesn't mean I won't eat a piece of raw wheat and chew on it. It means I don't eat bread that's made from wheat. I don't eat cake that's made from wheat. So here, if you mention both chita and chitim, so then you're usher in any form of wheat. You would be usher on things made out of kemah, the pot, and we'll see later on that you'd be usher also on the actual wheat itself. Same thing is true about grease or greasine. You mentioned both of them. So then you're also banned, whether they're raw pea or whether they're cooked pea. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if you only mention the grease, or you say, I don't eat pea, or I don't eat wheat, then your mutter lakus chayim would be allowed to chew on a raw wheat kernel, or on a raw pea. Because what you're referring to is the things that you make from pea or chita. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, if a guy says chita, shani toim, I don't eat chita, so then you cannot eat something that is asur, that is afui, so it's asur lafot, so you can't eat cake or bread, but you can chew a piece of wheat, mutalakus. But if you say wheat in the plural, chitim, shani toim, so then, on the contrary, then you don't chew it, because generally you would chew, this refers to the kernels of chitim, so then you're asur lakus, but you could eat that which is afui. If you say chita and chitim, shani toim, so then you would be asur ben lakus ben lafot. Same thing would be true by grease, pea. I don't eat pea. Okay, so then asur lavashia, you can't eat pea soup. But you could take a pea and chew on it, mutar lakus. If you say greasin shani toim, so then you can't chew on the peas. But mutar lavashia. If you say greasin shani toim, because obviously it's not split peas soup, it's split pea soup, right? So you're talking about, I don't eat peas, that doesn't mean split pea soup is going to be awesome. I mean, maybe in English it would be. But again, this was the specific usage. So if you say both greasin shani toim, asur ben lavashel, ben lakus, Hadron Allah Khan Derman Vushal. You want to wait for Saba Josh and hope that he'll be here tomorrow?
He was supposed to be here today.
Ah, so then we will wait. That means that tomorrow you told him that we're starting a new parak and we can't begin without it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Problem is, it's supposed to rain tomorrow. He probably didn't like the weather. The doctor told him to be careful on the weather. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mitzir Omer, Kol Shishem Toladato Kruya Alav, Menoder Emenu Asur Biyotze Emenu. V'Chachomim Matirim. Chachomim, Ano Dana Kama. No, Ikevanah Adetanya. Kalal Zeh Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Kol Shadarko Leachel. V'Derech Hayotze Mimenu Leachel. Kegon, Dvarim V'Dvash Dvarim. Nadar Bo Asur Biyotze Mimenu, Nadar Biyotze Mimenu Asur Bo. So then, no derabo and asur ela biyotzimimenu. Shalonit kaven ze ela biyotzimimenu. Anu der min hayayin mutar biyein tapuchim. Min hashemen mutar b'shemen shumshemim. Min hadvash mutar b'dvash tmarim. Min hachometz mutar b'chometz tvaniyot. Min hakirishin mutar b'kaplutot. Min hayerek mutar b'yerekot asadeh. Shu shem levay. Tanya no der men Hashem in Beretz Yisrael mutar b'shemen shumshemin v'asur b'shemen zayit. V'bavel asur b'shemen shumshemin mutar b'shemen zayit. Mokom shemistapkin mizeh umizeh asur b'zeh umizeh. Pshita. Ah, v'tzvich de ruba minchad mistapkin. Mal d'tem ezobat ruba. Kamashman savik Yisrael l'chumra. Ano der men ha-yerek b'shar shnei shavua asur b'irakot ha-gina umutar b'irakot ha-sadeh. But ano der men ha-yerek b'shvihit אסור רבי ירקות השדה, ומותר רבי ירקות הגינה. אומר רבי אבוה משום רבי חנינא בן גמליאל, לא שנה לו במקום שאין מביאים ירק מחוץ לארץ לארץ, אבל במקום שמביאים ירק מחוץ לארץ לארץ, there אסור, even משניהם. So obviously it's מסתפקים מזה ומזה. קטנוי, אין מביאים ירק מחוץ לארץ לארץ, רבי חנינא בן גמליאל אומר מביאים ירק מחוץ לארץ לארץ. מה הייתם אלא מנדיא? אני אומר אין מביאים, אומר רבי ירמיהו משום גוש. מן הכרוב אסור בספרגס, בן אספרגס מותר בכרוב. מן הגריסין אסור במקפה, רבי יוסי מתיר. מן המקפה מותר בגריסין, מן המקפה מותר בגריסין, מן המקפה אסור בשום, רבי יוסי מתיר, מן השום מותר במקפה. מן העדשים אסור בשישים, רבי יוסי מתיר, מן השישים מותר בעדשים. חיטים, שאני טועם, סדן אסור בין בן קמח בן פת. גריס גריסין, שאני טועם, אסור בין בן חיים בין מבושלים. רבי יהודה אומר, קודם גריס או חיטה שאני טועם מותר לכוס חיים. תנו רבי שמעון בן גמליאל אומר, חיטה שאני טועם אסור לאפות ומותר לכוס. חיטים שאני טועם אסור לכוס ומותר לאפות. חיטים שאני טועם אסור בין לכוס בין לאפות. גריס שאני טועם אסור לבשל ומותר לכוס. גריסים שאני טועם אסור לכוס ומותר לבשל. גריסים שאני טועם אסור בין לבשל ובין לכוס.